On the line now, I should have Patrick Sutton from Smockaddy Theatre. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, and how are you?
I'm great, and you?
I'm very well, top of the class, yeah.
Good, everything's good. Good, I'm going to enjoy this. I got a press release, I think it was, about Smockaddy, and I couldn't believe it actually dates back to the early 1600s, the building itself.
It does. In 1662, a man called John Ogilby got up off his backside and went to England to visit the king, who was called King Charles II, and he said to him, "May I have permission?" Because in those days we were overruled by the English.
Yeah.
And he said to the king, "May I have your permission, Mr. King, to be appointed master of the revels, and may I be allowed to build a theatre in Dublin?" And the king gave him his blessing, appointed him the master of the revels, and he came home in 1661 and went to the citizens of Dublin, and he said to them, "Any chance of a few bob here, folks?" And he raised £4,500 sterling, and he built the very first theatre of that year, Smockaddy, right on the banks of the River Liffey. Now, everybody knows it as St. Michael's and John's Church, because after it was finished being a theatre, the Catholics took the building and turned it into a church. So people know it for that reason, that it's a church. But in actual fact, when we dug down and we discovered that the walls were actually the original walls of the original theatre, we kind of realised that we were on to rediscovering and reinvigorating probably one of the most important theatre buildings in the world. And we've literally opened 6 months ago, and things are good.
And you're collecting stories and memorabilia, and you're going to open a little sort of a museum.
Yeah, well, what we're trying to do actually for the Smockaddy stories is we're trying to talk to the likes of your listeners and to ask them if they have any memories or if they have any photographs of Michael's and John's when it was anything to do with that building, when it was the Viking Adventure Centre or when it was a church. Do they have any memories? They can drop into us down there on the quays. We're just before the civic offices. If you're going down the quays towards Houston, we're before the civic offices and we're in off the road. People will know, I mean, they've seen the building a million times, but what a lot of people don't know is that it now is back to life and it's a full working theatre. And what we want to do is we want to get the punters, we want to get Dubliners and people from further afield to tell us the stories they have of that building. I mean, somebody came in the other day and he said he was the guy who helped remove the last body from the crypt. And I'm going, "Lord, that's a great story. That's a fantastic..." So people are there. I mean, there's a friend of mine who's an actor called Charlie Hughes who walks into the building a couple of years ago when we were doing the archaeological dig in there. And he said, "Just a second." He said, "There's something about those steps that remind me of a photograph." And I say, "Well, come out and find out about the photograph. Tell me about the photograph." Of course, it was the building that his mother and father got married in.
Oh, my God.
So yeah. he was... and then we've had literally every day there'll be somebody coming in saying they went to school in the girls' school or the boys' school, or they served mass. You know, you could get the fastest mass in Dublin in St. Michael's
right,
and John's Church.
Yeah. Yes, really some of the stories I just have already, and my God, it's gas. The priest was Flesh Kavanagh, I believe.
Flesh Kavanagh could get you in and out there I think it was like eight and a half minutes or 10 minutes, you know, and
yeah,
the whole thing.
Yeah.
Sure, that would do your soul a world of power.
Oh,
good,
yeah,
you know?
And I say the place was packed for the fast.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And is this the same guy that he threatened the men at the back? All the men at the back who were out to be out drinking.
Oh, I don't know whether that was Flash Kavanagh, but he certainly issued a decree. I'd say people either fled very quickly or hung around the back of the back of the church. You know, I mean, what's happened, of course, is that when the Viking Adventure Centre happened in there, which was a tourist attraction that between ourselves now didn't exactly set the world on fire. You know,
yeah.
Dublinia is down there and doing great,
yeah,
but this one didn't set the world on fire. You know, suddenly the building was kind of like lying empty for ages. And when a couple of us, Christian Mark and myself, some of the Temple Bar people, went down there and looked at it, and when we realised that this was actually the walls are the original walls of the original building, we kind of said to ourselves, this story hasn't been told. Like, people don't know about this. Now obviously we then went and raised all the money, and we got the government involved, and just like John Ogilby in the 1660s went to the citizens of Dublin and said, "Listen, can you give us a few quid to build this?" I went around to various people. I mean, I started off and I got 20, the first donation donation I got, having opened my big mouth and said we were going to do this, the first donation I got was €20. And I said to myself, well, that's not going to get us very far.
Yeah, but it's a start.
But it was a start. And then I got €8. And then, so we had €28. And then I was saying to myself, gee, this isn't going to work. And then I managed to sit down with the, with some of the big boys and girls, some of the people who have money, and they understood, if you like, the size of our vision that we wanted to bring back, to reinstate for Dublin, for Ireland, and indeed for the world, Dublin's first theatre of 1662. And of course, you know, then I got €100,000 here and €200,000 there. And, you know, a lot of people started rowing in behind the idea. And thankfully, I mean, you know, people can criticise the former government and people can criticise this government. The government made a commitment to see this thing through, and fair play to them. You know, they realised the importance of this thing. You know, everybody can complain about this, that and the other in terms of government and the country.
Yeah.
But the last government and this government, they said they were going to see this project through and see it through, they're doing. And I think that says an awful lot for you know, a sense of people's values. And I think that's important. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to just see who out there has stories or memories or tales to tell, and to try and get them all in. And we're going to put together an exhibition. If we get the stuff, we can put together an exhibition, and I think that exhibition is going to be just a reminder to people that the theatre is important, the its life as a church is important, and then again its life as a theatre once more is important. But we've just done the Fringe Festival, we've got the Dublin Theatre Festival on in there at the moment, and we haven't enough seats, you know, so that's a good sign.
Oh, it is, yeah, it's great, and it's a great story. So is this going on now since 2002?
Yeah, pretty much. No, well, a little later than that. I mean, 2002 would have been when the sea. There's a guy called Christopher Marash, right, who wrote a book. I don't know whether people are interested in reading history books, but there's a book by this guy called Christopher Marash, and it's a history of the Irish theatre from 1600 to about the year 2000, and it's one of the best written history books you'll ever read. And there's a bunch of chapters in that book that talk about Smock Alley. It's just very interesting because Chris Marash, when he said, guys, you better go down there and start looking to see how valuable this thing is. Of course, his book was published before we decided to go and rebuild and to raise the money and open the theatre. So I'm just looking forward to when his book has to be reprinted, because he's going to have to include a chapter on what we've done. But it was him and a lad called Christian Markin, who's a Canadian lad who's working in town, and myself and a bunch of us decided that this thing was worth doing. You know, I mean, the other side to this, of course, is that if we didn't do it, sure, life would have been much easier. Jeez, we'd have been grand. I'd have, you know. But then again, you know, things have to be done. Like I couldn't have slept with myself, as they say. I couldn't have slept comfortably at night if I knew that building was there and somebody didn't come and give it a new lease of life. And I tell you, if you go in there, you know, night or day, you walk into the building, there's a really, really good atmosphere in there, and you get a great welcome, and it's just nice to do something nice and do it well, and we're getting great praise and compliments for that at the moment, which is great.
Yeah, and am I reading right that there's stained glass windows and the original ceiling plaster work is there, still there?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's fabulous. I mean, it's just fabulous. If you go onto the website, smockalley.com, you get a good view of the spaces that are in there. But the windows from the church are still there. And, I mean, we spent a lot of money making sure that the roof... there's a story that the people who did all the plaster, the delicate, delicate plaster work of angels and figures up on the roof, the stucco work, there's a story going around that was put together by the people in Belfast who did exactly the same work on the Titanic. Now, and there were times now where I felt that we were on the Titanic,
yeah,
and that we were going under,
and
we were sinking, and yeah. No, and then people came to the rescue. Isn't it extraordinary when you think your luck has run out? Isn't it extraordinary that somebody comes along and throws you a dice and you roll it and things work out?
It's great.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, Smock Alley, even the name has a great ring to it. You don't know where that came from, do you?
Well, there's various rumours. It could have come from a smock being a kind of a loose item of clothing that a woman may have worn when she was conducting herself in an appropriate or inappropriate way outside the building. There's a number of stories about it. I mean, there's a number of different beginnings for. In actual fact, it was called the Theatre Royal because it had that royal approval. But the Dubliners, even then, the Dubliners weren't 100% happy with calling it the Theatre Royal. The Dubliners gave it their own name, and the Smock Alley was the name that they gave it, and Smock Alley was the name that stuck, and Smock Alley is the name that we're sticking with. Sure, I'd be lynched if I called it the Theatre Royal again.
Oh my God, yeah.
So they'd be down again. Now they were Smock Alley was the venue for there was all sorts of riots. You know, you can talk about the riots in the Abbey in 1907, but sure, way before that, a student from Trinity College got up onto the stage and tried to go backstage to have a conversation with a conversation is probably not quite right, but to have to make a pass at an actress. And Thomas Sheridan, who was the actor manager at the time, stood up on the stage and said to this man called Kelly from Trinity College, he said to him, Mr. Kelly, you cannot carry on like that. And Mr. Kelly from Trinity College said, I'll carry on the way I want to carry on. And Mr. Sheridan stood up and said, hold on, I'm as good a man as you are. At which point Mr. Kelly ran out of the building, got a whole pile of his friends from Trinity College, came back and caused a riot, which was the famous Kelly riots, you know. But the other thing that your listeners and the people who kind of get a chance to kind of visit Smock Alley, you know, I've just come back from a month in America. I was doing a bit of work over there. And when you tell the story of Smock Alley being 350 years old, should the Americans, you know, the America wasn't even invented then, you know, such. Or as somebody said to me the other day in America, America was perfectly happily invented and the Native Americans were doing what they did before the other things happened. But you kind of forget that in maybe, let me see, what was it, 1741, right, which isn't today or yesterday, there was an English actor, probably the most famous actor of his generation, called David Garrick, who came to Dublin, and there were queues around the block. Dublin could not contain its excitement because David Garrick, the most famous, this would be like Johnny Depp or Charlize Theron or like Marilyn Monroe coming to Dublin. This was as big as it got. And what was he doing in Dublin? He was doing the very first production of a play by a man called William Shakespeare called Hamlet. And it had never been done in Dublin before. It had never been done in Ireland. And this was the Irish premiere of that play in our theatre, which is now open again for business. And the other thing you have to remember is that about a year later, in 1742, if you were standing in Smock Alley and you were listening very carefully, what you would have heard 50 yards away, literally around the corner, would have been Handel's Messiah sung and played for the very first time in Fishamble Street. So you kind of get a feel for the kind of, and all we're trying to do now is bring that back to life. And what we need is the citizens of Dublin to come visit, knock on our door, come and see stuff, come and share their stories, for Smock Alley to be as significant and as special a place in the heart of Dubliners now as it was back then. So I think it's just, the great thing about having a chat with you today is it's a chance for me to simply have a chat, tell the story about it, because some people don't know about Smock Alley, some people don't know about the Theatre Royal. So it's just a really good, and I'm very grateful to have the opportunity, if you like, to sing the song of Smock Alley again.
No, it's a fantastic story. And now, is Smock Alley a working theatre now?
Yeah, it is. It's interesting because if you go in up the steps from the quays there, you know, if you're walking down from Essex Bridge towards the civic offices, there's a kind of a path. You know, if you're there's a bus stop and where there's a kind of an old sunken, pretend old sunken Viking ship. Well, just in from that, just in from there, you'll see what looks like a church, and you'll see our sign up which says Smock Alley. And what you do is you go up the stairs, you go into the foyer area, which has got a kind of a memory of the church in it. it, obviously, because the pillars that would have kept the choir stand are still there. And then through that foyer area, you go in and you look down into literally into the working theatre, you know, with all the lights and all the sound and all the seats. Actually, I tell you a good one. At 5 o'clock every Monday night on RTE television, there's a TV show called Pump Up My Dance, and the prize winners get a chance to perform. It's all televised. It's all been recorded already. But the winners of the dance and the hip hop and the ballet and they all get a chance to perform on the stage of Smock Alley. And if your listeners went on RTE Player, they could look up Pump Up My Dance and they get a really good view of the theatre working. Now, we're not a dance house, but we gotta make a living. We gotta keep the doors open. So these guys came in for a while and they made these TV shows with it. Equally, you go upstairs and there's what's called the Banquet Hall, which I really believe, apart from Dublin Castle, the Great Hall in Dublin Castle, the Banquet Hall in Smock Alley is probably one of the best venues, you know, for events or for performances in the country. And then on top of that, you also have what's called the Boys' School, which is, when it was a church, there was a boys' school attached. And that is a really interesting, it's a smaller venue, but it's very quirky. You know, it's got this stairway that rolls right the way around on the outside. You can get on a bicycle at the top of the building, and you can cycle the bicycle all the way down until you get, and it's also wheelchair accessible, obviously, that's part of the purpose of that. And then, as if the story has no ending, then you have what's called the Girls' School over on Essex Street, which is the new home of the Gaiety School of Acting, which is the National Theatre School of Ireland, and they have they're based there. So it's kind of like a collision of a million different ideas and imaginations, you know. Yeah. So I'm director of the acting school and I'm also director of the theatre, but it's a kind of a good combination that the acting school is now able to rent space from Smock Alley and help the business expand and grow, and the theatre has a relationship with the acting school where, you know, performances can get put on into Smock Alley. It's kind of, if you like, somebody said to me there recently, geez, that sounds like a match made in heaven. And I'm kind of saying, well, this is, you know.
It is. It's a great story. Absolutely fantastic. And you've convinced me I'd be in the Visages.
Well, you'd be very, very welcome. You really would, you know.
And it's an up and running theatre now again. And you're doing this collection of memorabilia. And hopefully, are you going to create a bit of history yourselves? And
we've already made the history by bringing the place back. Yeah, you know, we're getting phone calls from all over the world, people wanting to take a look at the place. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to put together an exhibition that just reminds people that the heritage was a theatre. Is a theatre, but in the middle there was that time where there's got to be stories out there. There's got to be photographs, and we're just asking your listeners to dust down the box under the bed and see if they have any pictures, or you know, see pictures of that building, and you'd never know what might emerge. You never know.
Yeah, come out and talk to parents, grandparents.
Exactly.
Really fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. Now, do you want to give out the phone number again?
I do. It's 677-0014. Let me double check that because I got this wrong the other day quite spectacularly. it's 677-0014. That's Smock Alley, 677-0014. That's Smock Alley. And if you ring up, you know, somebody will meet you at the door and will everything that we take and use in the exhibition obviously will be very careful with, and you'll be guaranteed to get it back. But it's just the idea of seeing whether there's stuff out there that we can use. You know, it'd be great.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'd talk to you all morning if I could.
Well, I would talk to you all morning, but sure, I'm sure you have a million other things to do in terms of keeping your show on the road.
We have. Well, listen, thank you very, very much, Patrick, for talking to me this morning.
Thank you for your time. I really do appreciate it. All right.
Hopefully we'll talk again.
Great. Take care.
Thanks
Good
very
time.
Much, Patrick.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yes, Patrick Sutton there from the Smock Alley Theatre, and I thoroughly enjoy that. It's a very, very interesting piece. So, I know you know all about it. You can go in and look at it, talk to your parents, your grandparents, see if anybody remembers anything, and you never know.